You have tuned in to an official United States government podcast. Prepare to be entertained, enlightened, and educated. Hey, welcome to GSA Does That. I'm Rob Trubia, your host. This is the podcast that uncovers the stories behind the United States federal agency delivering effective and efficient government. Together, we're learning just what the General Services Administration is all about. So thanks for tuning in. You know what? It's hard to believe, but we are already at episode 4 of season 2, and it has been a great season so far. We talked to our administrator, Robin Carnahan, discussing sustainable building practices. We focused on equity with historically black colleges and universities. And we just had a really fun episode celebrating Women's History Month, talking to three impressive women of different backgrounds and professions within GSA. Maybe my favorite episode so far this season. But now we're on to episode 4, and we have an interesting interview for you today. We've got with us the Commissioner of the Public Building Service, or PBS, Mr. Elliot Dooms. Elliot oversees the largest team in GSA. This is a team of thousands of employees that are responsible for overseeing, taking care of, and running about 8,000 buildings across the nation. It's a real estate portfolio that is, as you can imagine, quite impressive, and Elliot oversees it all. We'll be talking about the future of federal buildings, how they'll be utilized as we move forward, and the plans to make and renovate and update them to be more sustainable than ever. He's making sure they're being used efficiently, and we're going to talk about the challenges that PBS faces, and there's lots of them, but we're also going to be talking about what Elliot is very excited about. There's a lot of great things happening at PBS, and we can't wait to share those with you. He's a fantastic guy who's very interesting and comes from a very impressive family, and I think you'll really enjoy getting to know him. So thanks for tuning in, and please be sure to subscribe. And for more content, visit gsa.gov/podcast. Well, we've got Elliot on the line. Sir, thank you for being with us today. I wondered if you might share a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, maybe where you went to college, your favorite food, or maybe your thoughts on pickleball.
I'll start off. I'm originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, one of my favorite places on this earth. I grew up there. Later on, I went to Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia, which was a really terrific experience. And when you talk about favorite food, I guess I should lean into my Louisiana roots. There's nothing I love more than crawfish etouffee, a terrific delicacy that is very much a Louisiana dish, and it brings me a lot of joy. And I've learned how to make it over the years, and every time I make it, I get a little bit better at it. And as far as my thoughts on pickleball, so I'll just say I'm a big fan of tennis. But I realize I'm going to have to learn how to share my courts with pickleball players.
Elliot, you're the commissioner of GSA's Public Building Service, known as PBS. That's the largest team within GSA. Can you tell us the mission of PBS and how you see your role as commissioner, sir?
Yeah. So what I'll tell you about the mission of the Public Building Service, our mission is to maintain our real estate portfolio of almost 362 million square feet. About half of that is owned, about half of it is leased. So we're responsible for maintaining and building and providing alterations and repairs to our owned inventory. We're responsible for going out into the market and leasing space on behalf of federal agencies. So I really see PBS as a huge support for all the other federal agencies so that they can focus on their mission. We're taking care of the real estate needs. Most civilian federal agencies. And we're doing the work so they don't have to worry about it. We're going into the market. The mission of PBS, our expertise, is in acquiring and maintaining real estate. And I think we're really good at it. My mission and how do I see my role? You're right. PBS is one of the largest arms of GSA with over 5,600 employees, with 11 regions spread out all over the country. And my job, I see it as kind of to be a cheerleader for all the civilian employees of PBS for some of the great work that they're doing in going out into the market and supporting federal agencies to kind of advance some of our legislative needs, like a permanent fix to the Federal Buildings Fund, so we can have some sustained funding to interact with other federal agencies at the highest levels to work through their problems and make sure that their real estate needs are being delivered. And then second of all, to kind of continue to highlight the great work of all the employees of PBS. I mean, we're doing just so many amazing things that it's almost hard to keep up with it. But I want to make sure that all PBS employees feel seen and that they are appreciated for all the good work that they're doing. You know, PBS has well over 8,000 leases all around the country, and they range from a million square foot leases to leases as small as 2,000 square feet. So, you know, we've got a wide spectrum of responsibilities, and we're always developing in-house talent. PBS has a very high rate of how long employees have worked for the agencies. And I think it's a testament that PBS is a great place to work. So I see my role as kind of maintaining PBS's already great reputation and working with our stakeholders on Capitol Hill to make sure that they understand of what the agency needs in order to be successful.
Yeah, well, you say PBS is certainly in the building business, but it sounds like your priority is the people and the culture of PBS. You know, I know you know more than anyone that the way some federal buildings are being utilized is changing quite a bit. You know, I'm curious what kind of opportunities and maybe challenges that's creating for PBS and for your team.
Yeah, you're right. Post-COVID, federal employees and employees writ large around America aren't necessarily working the same way they worked before COVID. And we certainly have some buildings that are not fully utilized, even though our vacancy rate is relatively low. I think 8% for the entire portfolio and about 4% in lease. So what we're doing is we're working with agencies. We are using tools like the Workplace Innovation Lab. We have six different neighborhoods with six different types of furniture, six different ways of work. And we're inviting other federal agencies in to check out the space and to help them think through what their workplace solution looks like in a post-COVID world where not every federal employee is showing up to their desk every single day. You know, some agencies, if you don't come into work at least 3 days a week, you don't get a dedicated space. And we're just kind of using our expertise to kind of showcase all the different ways that can work. And we're taking from these agencies, well, what are your mission needs? And we're offering them solutions. And we've got the experts, the Office of the Chief Architect. They were working on Workplace 2030 long before COVID started. So we were already starting to see the workplace evolve in terms of the 9-day work week where you work 10 hours during the week or 9 hours. And then, you know, the alternate Friday off. We were also seeing some hoteling and telework before COVID. And then COVID just kind of accelerated all of that. And what we're trying to do is use our expertise with these federal agencies to show them all the different options that they have to provide workplace solutions for their employees. And, you know, and we have more tools in the tool bag now. And we share those tools with other federal agencies to say, here's a way you can work. Here's a way you can continue to collaborate. Tell us how you work and tell us what the needs of your workplace are, and we can offer you a solution.
Interesting. So I'm curious how you think. Let's think about these buildings. I mean, a lot of federal buildings are really, they're landmarks. They're landmarks in their communities. I mean, we think about Washington, D.C. for sure, but throughout the country. I'm curious how you think the history and architecture of all these buildings that you oversee, how do they affect the public?
Well, you know, I'm often fond of saying I like to focus on the public part of public buildings. A lot of times these public buildings will define a community. These places, it's kind of the quintessential town square where people come to protest their government and say the policies that they don't agree with, consistent with the First Amendment and the right to assembly and the right to have your grievances addressed. So we hear that oftentimes that whether it's a courthouse or a federal building that's providing services, that these buildings are oftentimes essential to a community and can define a community. And also because there's a certain amount of economic activity associated with our buildings. You know, wherever you put a federal courthouse, there are going to be office buildings full of lawyers next to it. And there are going to be ancillary services. They're going to be sandwich makers. They're going to be dry cleaners. They're going to be cobblers. So I think we have a responsibility to these communities to work with them when we're making siting decisions about where we might place a building in a community. And we have a responsibility to maintain them and to make sure that these buildings are safe. So we're constantly working in with landscape architects, with our design excellence program, because these buildings, when we build a building, we know they're going to be there a long time. I think the vast majority of our portfolio, the buildings are over 50 years long. So I think we have a responsibility to be thoughtful about how we design them, to make sure that they reflect the values of that community and they fit in. You know, I'll point to two courthouses that I think are that have been built within the last decade that I think reflect their community in ways that are special. The Miami courthouse is shaped like a boat, and they use landscape architects to build waves into the ground, so it looks like the boat is in water, but then those waves also serve as a deterrent for someone driving and ramming the building. So I think that's beautiful. That kind of reflects the boat culture of Miami, Florida. And then there's another courthouse in Yuma, Arizona, that is seemingly built to meld in with the desert. And it's entirely appropriate for that part of Arizona. But I think that's pretty cool on how we kind of took into account the local elements in those communities and incorporated those into building design.
Yeah, that is pretty fascinating. So what you're saying is we don't just build buildings that look like they're in Washington, D.C. We build them for their communities.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a big part of our design excellence program, is taking into account where we're building the community, who the people are of that community, and oftentimes doing our best to reflect that in the work that we do.
You made an excellent point where you talked about, you know, these federal buildings, we own them for a long time. We don't build buildings thinking we'll keep them for a little while and then we'll sell them. We build them, we own them, we have them forever. So, you know, preservation, renovation, it's got to be a huge priority for PBS. Where does that historical preservation stack up when you think about priorities and trying to update the huge portfolio that you have?
Well, Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act kind of requires us to do that. So that's kind of this iterative process we do with local stakeholders to make sure that anytime we're doing a renovation, that we're taking into account the historical aspects. You know, some of our buildings have been designated as historic landmarks so that there are very clear limitations on how we might change the facade or make changes into the indoor. And what I'll say is that we've got a real commitment to that within GSA. I think that's part of the core mission of GSA, to kind of preserve the building architectural history of our country and make sure that we're being super thoughtful. So I think GSA has done a good job of taking the Section 106 process seriously and taking into account the opinions of our stakeholders in the historic preservation community. And I think that's a core part of what we do, and something I'm certainly more than willing to embrace. Many years ago, I was involved in the oversight process as GSA put together a plan for the St. Elizabeth's campus, where we are consolidating the new Department of, well, not the new, but the Department of Homeland Security in a newly consolidated headquarters. And that was kind of a long but important and tedious process to make sure that we maintain the historical aspects of that National Historic Landmark, but at the same time, providing a modern campus so that we can have the best Department of Homeland Security, where they can build one culture, but while also respecting the history of this campus as one of the first insane asylums in this country. That was an important part of our history, and it was important to maintain elements of that while at the same time making sure that we provide an environment where those employees can do the best job they can to protect American citizens.
Yeah, it sounds like you're juggling a lot there. You're real balancing act, maintaining historical preservation. Like I said, it's required by law, plus it's part of GSA's culture. It's what GSA is very proud of. I'm curious, as you think about, you know, the factors, what factors go into driving the design of new government buildings or new structures or renovation? What are the priorities for PBS when it thinks about new construction? Is it sustainability? Is it just, you know, best bang for your buck? What's the priorities, Elliot?
I would have to say nowadays, sustainability is really driving it. And that's a function of the president's executive order on procuring carbon-free electricity and a goal of a net zero emissions portfolio by 2045 and procuring carbon-free electricity by 2030. Our new construction and major repair and alterations are guided by the P100, which is essentially our design guide and our plan for building buildings. So for instance, when we're building new office buildings now, we have a plan to electrify those buildings and to use electricity and frankly, to use carbon-free electricity. So climate and sustainability is an absolute huge focus in both our own portfolio as well as new green leasing standards that we are developing internally so that when we are going out and procuring that, you know, roughly 160 million square feet of lease space, as I've been telling stakeholder groups, if your building isn't getting greener, it's going to be hard to do business with GSA. So we are absolutely laser focused on meeting the president's goals of carbon-free electricity by 2030 and net zero emissions portfolio by 2045. We are constantly going to the market looking for innovations about how to do that. And I think I'm proud to announce that the San Luis land port of entry is going to be, I think, our first net zero emissions land port of entry. And we're super excited about that. And we're super excited because I think we're leading and I think others are going to follow. And I think there's some real opportunities to do some great things in that space.
Yeah. You're thinking PBS has, I mean, you're spending billions of dollars. So you in leading by example sounds like it's important, especially when it comes to sustainability.
Yeah, I mean, and one thing I'd like to talk about is in the Inflation Reduction Act, GSA got about $3 billion. A huge chunk of that, and the majority of it, is going towards buying low embodied carbon materials, construction materials. So glass, asphalt, concrete, and steel. And we're going to the market and we're saying, give us your best work. We want to know how we can build a building and continue to drive down the use of carbon because we understand these pollutants are not good. They have negative externalities that are borne by people across the spectrum in the United States. And we want to offer some relief and we want to be leaders and we want to spur the market to provide us with ever decreasing amount of carbon in the products that we're using to build buildings with the hopes that we can create a market for these things and that other people that are out there building can follow into it.
So with everything that PBS is doing, everything that GSA is doing and saying, hey, we're not buying this unless it's manufactured in the most, you know, earth-friendly way, low embodied carbon way, when you talk about glass, concrete, steel, that type of thing, these manufacturers are responding to you because you're a huge customer. And it sounds like you're saying that that just leads the way for others to follow in industry.
Yeah, no, we're certainly trying to build capacity in the industry. We recently had an industry day in March with general contractors as well as suppliers for low embodied carbon materials. And we were essentially trying to do some matchmaking. We were saying, hey, GC, you want to build the next building out at St. Elizabeth? You need to talk with these guys and you need to put together a package that's competitive because you're only going to be more competitive the more you can source these low embodied carbon materials. And if there's some spillover effects where maybe one of the local jurisdictions, the next time they're building a building, they tap into it, great. But we're doing everything we can to be leaders in the market and kind of drive the market towards these types of solutions that we think will have a positive impact on our communities.
Elliot, what's your biggest challenges at PBS right now? What's keeping you up at night?
Well, I think our efforts to continue to electrify buildings, and I think we've had tremendous progress in acquiring carbon-free electricity. I think we're at roughly around 54% of the energy we are procuring is carbon-free. I think getting that last 46% is going to be difficult, but I think the team is up to the challenge. I think we are looking at buildings in our inventory, like the heating operations and transmission district here in the district, which is responsible for 40% of our emissions nationwide. And we're looking at what kind of steps are we going to have to take to cut emissions in that building. We want to be good citizens here in the District of Columbia. I think there's still some challenges as we convert over to more electric vehicles. We got about $25 million in the Inflation Reduction Act to install charging stations across the country. We recently made an announcement that we think we have funding for about close to 800 charging stations or ports connected to charging stations across the nation. So that's a challenge. And then we also have the challenge of we've got to spend these Inflation Reduction Act dollars, I believe, by September 30th, 2026. So we are rushing, trying to get this money out of the door, but trying to be responsible stewards while still spurring the market. So there's a tension there. Those are some of our big challenges.
I'm curious, those are the challenges, but like, what's the most exciting things going on at PBS right now? What can you share with us that you're just really excited about? What are you so optimistic about that you just want to tell everybody?
Well, I think what I'm optimistic about is that PBS got a huge amount of money last fiscal year in both the bipartisan infrastructure bill and as well as the Inflation Reduction Act. And I think I'm just excited that GSA and the terrific people of PBS, we're being leaders on climate and sustainability. We're coming up with all types of new ideas about how to gather information, move towards carbon-free electricity. We're helping CVP, I think, secure the country by spending billions of dollars on land ports of entry, which I think is essential for this nation's security to improve the infrastructure at these land ports of entry. So that I'm super excited about. I think I'm super excited about our green leasing standard and the way we're transforming markets. People want to do business with GSA, so they don't build their buildings unless they think they might have a chance to sign a lease with GSA. And I think that's an important thing we're doing to just drive down the use of energy. You know, I say that there are some people that think it's important to do some of the things we're doing to climate sustainability because they're concerned about climate change. But I also offer that there's another argument that if we're using $100 million less of energy every year, that's a win for taxpayers, an unambiguous win. So when we're figuring out new ways to install LED lighting in buildings or put in sensors so that lights don't stay on unless there's someone in that space, that is pure, unadulterated savings and a benefit to the taxpayers. We also, many of us in the leadership of the agency also happen to think that anything we can do to slow the use of carbon and cut down energy, we think that has a positive effect on climate change. But those are, I think, both dual arguments for doing some of the great work we're doing. And I think we're really leading. So I'm excited about that.
There's a lot of wins there for sure. I wanted to ask you about smart buildings. You know, what are you doing in that realm? Is that starting to become a thing? Is that starting to become normal?
Yeah, we are 100% doing that. We've got a new smart building initiative with smart sensors. And we're not only managing buildings, we're learning how to manage spaces within buildings so that we can kind of get that granular with the managing of the system and identifying where things are either going right or maybe things need to go wrong, so that when we hear from a customer and they say, well, you know, the conference room is too cold, to kind of be able to go in and get granular and understand, you know, what the temperature is in that room and what adjustments we might need to make to our system. So we're hoping this smart sensor technology will provide continuous data. Right now, we've been mostly reliant on manual data collection processes, and the smart sensor technology will provide data in a more real-time way, in a more automated way that allows us to enhance operations.
Well, Elliot, this has been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed talking to you. And thank you for taking the time out of what I'm sure is a ridiculously busy schedule to be with us today. We really appreciate it.
Well, Rob, I had a great time, but I really want to say this was an opportunity. As I said, I'm really focused on the public part of public buildings. And I think an important part of what we do is communicate how we serve our community and what our role is. And I think that helps us do a better job, the more people that know what we're trying to do. So thank you for this opportunity.
A special thank you to our guest, Mr. Elliot Dooms, the Commissioner of the Public Building Service. You know, I really appreciated Elliot's candor in regards to federal building utilization, some of the challenges and opportunities that are facing PBS, and discussing his priorities as commissioner, maintaining an outstanding working culture, and joining with his entire team in making each and every PBS building less expensive to run and kinder than ever to the environment. Mr. Dooms is a highly regarded and very well-respected individual in Washington, D.C., and he's been a GSA advocate and fan for a couple of decades now, and I think I can speak for all of us when I say we're thrilled to have him as a commissioner of PBS. Thanks for tuning in to GSA Does That. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and consider sharing this episode with friends and colleagues. To suggest a topic or guest, drop us an email at gsadoesthat@gsa.gov. I'm Rob Trubia, joined by our executive producer, Max Stempora. This episode was brought to you by the General Services Administration, Office of Strategic Communication. I hope you have a great rest of your day.